first time in a long time. But it seems like just yesterday when we were side by side. Beast mode, no one's blocking our way. These other guys tried it, but them man ain't got the skills of Brazen and Davey, brazen and raging, bringing you the thrills and spills. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, DVP, the BD elite. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, DVP, the BD elite.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for BD Elite. We are live on Twitch.
Twitch.tv/upnextpodcast and youtube.com/upnext. Hello, yes. Twitch and YouTube room.
1K on YouTube.
Over.
Over 1K.
Just over. But yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
And then we realized we've got to have way more hours watched of our channel before we can monetize. So go on, guys. This is your homework for next week. Watch every video we've ever produced.
Just everyone go watch our
take
YouTube.
Take a week off work and just power through the whole thing.
Just play our videos on mute while you watch other stuff.
Yeah.
And get us those views and hours so we can monetize YouTube. Hey, thanks anyone who hit that subscribe. Hit that subscribe on your podcast app as well, like Apple Podcasts and such. It does a wonders for us. But welcome to BD Elite. Of course, we're your NXT friends. We talked all about NXT last night on Up Next. You can go check that out. It had a mixed bag of stuff, some wrestling and some stuff they called wrestling. And we're here to talk about some AEW here tonight. We recorded another show, though, that we put out today in honor of someone's birthday. X-Pac.
Yeah, Sean Waltman turns 50 today. Happy birthday, X-Pac.
The 1-2-3 man.
And yeah, we've released a best match ever, looking at the greatest matches of Sean Waltman's career.
Yeah, so if you've ever heard a best match ever, check it out because we have tons of them. But on this episode, we kind of go through different matches he's had as 1-2-3 kid, X-Pac 6, stuff in WWF, WCW, TNA, and even Shikara we look at. But all the best X-Pac kid matches, whatever you want to call them, and talk about a lot of his moments as well, like the tag team with Kane, never forget. We talk all about the best of X-Pac and do our best to give our honor to his way, give him his flowers.
I think we do.
We do.
I think
the Brett match is awesome. Sean, yeah, we talk about
some real hidden gems there.
Yeah, Razor stuff, obviously. Brett, Sean, there's Eddie Guerrero. There's so many others in there. So go check that podcast out. And this Sunday, we have a show coming out. World Champ patrons get to pick stuff to review for us. And, well, friend of the show, John Cena, is also a World Champ patron. Listen to Shot in the Dark if you don't already. And he picked this movie called Old Boy from 2003.
Yeah.
It's a Korean thriller film, if you want. Kind of like a neo-noir. It's kind of a cult following. Maybe you've heard of it. All right. There is a remake in English in America. Josh Brolin. Not watched that one yet. But I can tell you from watching the original one, if you've not seen Old Boy, don't look it up. Don't look anything up. Just sit down one night and watch
this film.
And then listen to our review coming out this Sunday with John. It might be... I'm giving it a disclaimer here. I'm giving it a disclaimer. It might be one of our out there shows.
I mean, we're talking about an out there film there. Not quite Freddy Got Fingered level, but we're getting there.
It's on the way there.
Yeah, we recorded this show today with John and really enjoyed this one. Great film to talk about. And yeah, absolutely go out of your way to watch this before we release it.
For those who like to hear us get a little, is raunchy the right word? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Just fucked up. That's the show for you. If you don't like that, maybe this one's not for you, but go check it out. And if you have seen the movie, well then you'll know what we're talking about. But yeah, super excited for you guys to hear that one coming out this weekend. But all the shows, go check us out. Patreon.com/upnext is what we do to keep the lights on here. And we love creating the content and these podcasts for you. And I mean, AEW seems to be celebrating Shark Week next week.
They are.
They're on the ball this year. We were ahead of the curve last year with our Shark
Week. Yeah, did they do anything last year? I don't think so.
No, we did though.
Yeah.
And we did a best match ever, Shark Cage match. So Actually, I'm going to give it out for free on this feed this week, leading into the Shark Cage match going into AEW next week. So if you aren't a patron, I'm giving you a taster of some of the stuff we did. We recorded this one last year.
Exactly a year ago.
So we chat all about the different...
Maybe we'll need to update it.
After this one, the barbed wire everywhere, shark cage match. Yeah, we talk all about them. But yeah, that'll be on the free feed sometime next week. There you go. A little treat from us to you. And Shark Week, we're celebrating because we're going to watch Sharknado.
First time I've seen this film.
You've never seen it before.
I've seen like highlights on YouTube, you know, but never sat down and watched the full match of man versus shark in a tornado.
So it's a tornado, but there's sharks in the tornado. Yeah. So can't wait for that one as well. Get your feedback in and go watch it if you haven't. Get ready for our video book club there coming through. But yeah, Shark Week coming soon with the Warner Brother Discovery thing. I don't think they like the fact that they're using it as a violent thing, like shark cages and blood and stuff. They're probably like, eh.
It's to keep them safe, right?
From the sharks.
The shark cage is the safe part of the match.
I guess. Yeah, that's true. They could do a match with, like, the sharks in it.
Like barbed wire everywhere. So we're expecting, barbed wire ropes? I imagine, like, the barbed wire kind of boards on the floor.
Right.
Barbed wire turnbuckles.
They changed their minds because they made it sound like a barbed wire death match. And to me, as a wrestling fan, that means it's ropes are barbed wire. But they changed that. They said now it's barbed wire just everywhere. So does that mean
ropes?
They
said barbed wire everywhere deathmatch.
So
I would assume the ropes are...
I feel like they aren't now, but hey, why not? So it's just going to be everywhere.
I imagine it's going to be the ropes. It's going to be the floor. I imagine the boards are all on the floor, that kind of thing.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everything all at once. All the barbed wire everywhere. Yeah, sounds great.
Justin Roberts just wrapped in barbed wire.
What? Why not? Yeah. Let me some barbed wire. So we'll be chatting all about that next week for Fyter Fest Night 2. But this is Fyter Fest Night 1. Hey, what about Sasha Banks making her first appearance outside of WWE at the Chicago Comic-Con?
Oh,
as
did she?
Mercedes Vernado, coming soon.
Okay.
Mercedes Vernado. Get used to that, saying that name.
From Star Wars fame.
Mercedes from Star Vernado. Wars. Yeah. Formerly known as Sasha Banks, the boss. Does it work? The boss, Mercedes Vernado?
Does she own the boss? I imagine that's
I imagine
something she can't
Bruce
use
Springsteen
as well.
Uses the boss.
Well, yeah, but I imagine it's something like a WWE trademark.
Okay.
I would think.
Yeah. So what, she'll be the higher up executive.
I guess. So, I don't know.
Mercedes Vernado. I think that's the name she would go with if she does.
Yeah, might as well go with her real name. Yeah. I think it would feel weird for her to do anything else. So yeah, just be herself.
Yeah.
Just be yourself, guys.
And another thing Chicago gets.
Oh, the Comic-Con, right.
that Comic-Con is pretty popping, but, I mean, Chicago's getting a lot of things these days.
Yeah, it's kind of as we suspected. All Out is going to the Now Arena, again, Hoffman Estates. Disappointing. I think I said this last year, that it's not a good venue, I don't think. Especially for a big kind of traveling event. It's about over an hour out of the downtown area. It's not much going on there. And it's...
Hey, they had Coach House.
They had Coach House. That's
the one bar/club we had fun.
And it's like an old kind of small arena. I think they've outgrown it. I know there's tradition, but even WWE come WrestleMania 30, they're like, we're bigger than MSG now. We can sell more tickets than that. And they went somewhere else. I think if you're doing Chicago, it should have been United Center. But I think it's time to get away with this Chicago every pay-per-view tradition.
Yeah, it's weird because Tony Khan wasn't even involved in All In.
Mm.
So why does he keep going back there?
Yeah, true.
Were you even there? Come on, what are you talking about?
He was there.
Yeah, he was there. But he keeps going back. We were at that venue and it felt fine, but I think they do. I think they do. Can do so much better and so much bigger. Obviously, we're Toronto. We wanted a big show, but I don't think we're getting that until a little
while.
There's
like other markets as well that are feeling probably the same, where it's like, man, why not here?
Yeah.
It's especially just having Forbidden Door and that. It's like, come on.
Your last pay-per-view was in Chicago, but this is the Chicago
it's
area.
Worse.
Hoffman Estates. Yeah. We went to, what did we do after all that? Did we go to some metal burger bar? That was around there, I think.
We went there, yeah.
What else was in Hoffman Estates? Coach House. We played pool.
Coach House was the main thing. The music. Which I tried to go into last time, but Scrump was wearing ball shorts and they wouldn't let us in.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry, so you know what? They made me check my hat at that place.
Yeah.
Which I was like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. But ball shorts, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
I looked great.
Yeah, Scrump, I love you, but
come on,
ball shorts when you're going out off.
Come on.
Yeah, no, that's on him. That 100%. It's his look, though. If you, yeah, but still going out.
It's not their look. It's not Coach House's look.
So Hoffman Estates sucks if you wear ball shorts. If you're a baller, don't go to Hoffman Estates. Yeah, this one's. They're doing all three nights.
Yeah,
they're doing Dynamite, Rampage, and the pay per view all out in this arena. So I mean, yeah, that's.
Which means you'd be staying there, what, Wednesday through to Sunday? Jeez.
In Hoffman Estates.
In Hoffman Estates. Or you're doing that journey every day?
You don't want to, what, wait for the trains and buses after that? Because there is none, right?
There is
the transit none. After that sucks. So you have to have a ride out or drive out. So, yeah, it would have made way more sense to do it in a way bigger arena.
Yeah.
I think they could have, but.
They must have some really good deal there.
Free. It's the Now Arena.
Yeah.
Damn. We do want to see them come to Toronto, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Till they drop that vax law.
Yeah.
I don't think they're coming.
No, it's true. Like, you can't come in yet unless you're vaccinated. So that could definitely be putting off them from coming. I don't know when that's meant to be lifted, but we're in a seventh wave here now. So
seventh wave. Seventh new wave. Well, let's talk about this episode of Dynamite and kind of going in and out of what's going on. Last week you were at Dynamite.
I was.
In Rochester.
And it felt kind of weird today because I'm walking around. It's Wednesday. You know what that means? And I see a guy wearing a We the People shirt on Queen Street. And he was clearly pumped for the Jake Hager match tonight.
Tonight.
So for a second, I was like, oh, am I going to Dynamite tonight? Oh, no, I'm not. But I reckon he just picked this up in a charity shop or something.
Yeah.
This We the People. It was the blue one with the red hand.
It's a terrible shirt.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
I'm like, does he know what that is?
I saw Kevin Owens ones the other day.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah. That one definitely was in a vintage shop. I hope he didn't pay a lot for it. Maybe he still owns that. Like, it's just a classic. It's a retro. He just owns. He just loves the. I'm glad he pulled it out for tonight. He must be watching the product if he's wearing that today.
I would bet you it was just pure coincidence. I bet he doesn't know what it is.
Wow.
He probably loves America and yeah, had no idea that old Swagger was wrestling tonight.
Damn. Well, we start off Dynamite tonight from Wednesday, July 13th, from Savannah, Georgia, and we start off with a TNT Championship match. And I love hearing some Starship, some Jefferson Airplane, whatever you want to call them. Jane is my favorite song. I've been listening to it way too many times. Orange Cassidy going one-on-one against Wardlow. I already was like, this is a weird booking for this because Orange is huge and over and loses a lot lately. And Wardlow is huge and over and winning a lot lately. So you instantly know where this is going. But I'd say even before jumping into it, it was pretty fun. Mm. Orange has an insert promo with the best friends in their like rainbow jumpsuits that they wear now, which are awesome. And they say, we know Wardlow's big and strong and undefeated and all this. So we're just going to be honest. We're going to cheat. We're going to do bad things. We're going to do ridiculous things to try to win this match. We're going to cheat. And Orange is like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. So good. The starts off with Orange doing some antics. Wardlow rips the pockets of Orange Cassidy, which gets some booze, and then takes down his straps and flexes. So Orange puts his straps back on for him to aggravate.
He put his hands in his straps as if the straps were like pockets.
So he keeps going for a series of moves on Wardlow, who's basically just too big, too strong. He does like a Rana spin out where Wardlow actually lands on his feet in a very like impressive, almost like lucha off. From both guys. Then Chucky T is going under the ring for a weapon, and Chucky T grabs a chainsaw. Yes.
full on chainsaw.
Throws it in the ring.
Which didn't, I'm pretty sure, didn't Ambrose try to use that against Brock?
Yeah.
At Mania.
And then they just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because Brock was
like, Terry gave him a chainsaw, didn't he?
Yeah.
Old Terry, old Tell.
And it wasn't used at all. But yeah. Here we have a chainsaw here in Savannah, Georgia. And the ref is like, yo, what the fuck are you doing with the chainsaw? You know what? You two are out of here.
Oh, no.
So Orange is on his own. And then Wardlow is one step ahead because Wardlow goes under the ring and finds Danhausen as well. It's all the spots here from the best friends. Picture in picture, we have Orange Cassidy kind of fighting back. There's a series of orange punches. And when we come back, a DDT and then another one. And then eventually a stun dog, which was huge. Orange keeps going for the beach break, eventually hits it on Wardlow, but he kicks out. Eventually has another orange punch and goes for a fourth or fifth one and gets countered in midair. Finally, the powerbomb connects. 1, 2, 3. Wardlow retains the TNT title and then afterwards kind of gives respect to Orange Cassidy.
A little fist bump.
But yeah, fun match.
Yeah, this was fun. I think after the Ospreay match, we saw that maybe Orange is going to be kind of elevated a bit. He's still, I think, just a guy who can lose. He's going to be over whatever. So it did, by the end of this match, make sense. I thought they gave him some great, like, hope spots, though. Like, the beach break spot, especially.
Yeah.
Kind of. There were some good near falls towards the end. Some funny stuff at the beginning. The chainsaw was pretty fun. No, I thought this was pretty fun to start.
Yeah, we knew that Wardlow's on this Goldberg reign of terror here, which it works. He's super over, but it was weird that it was clashing with like another hot babyface that instantly crowds are always with. But it worked. It worked, and it didn't. I still feel it didn't hurt Orange in any way. But enjoyed some of the antics there. More chance.
Good to see Chucky again.
Yeah,
the last couple of weeks
bringing in a chainsaw.
Yeah,
we need the chainsaw used. Unfortunately,
one day.
Yeah, like it's got to be
heel turn.
It's got to be Dean's
head off.
It has to be Mox to do it, right? Like,
what, use the chainsaw?
Yeah.
What, with Orange?
Just on someone.
On someone.
Maybe. We get a recap of Dark, AEW Dark, which if you don't watch or you do watch and you want to hear about it, listen to Shot in the Dark, where John Cena on this feed covers Dark and Dark Elevation and NXT UK and all the other wrestling you may or may not watch in 15 minutes or less. But want to hear something crazy? Me and Davey, we watched Some of Dark.
A match.
A match. And it was this match that they kind of give a little recap of. The All-Atlantic Championship is defended for the first time from PAC.
Yeah. In Sheffield, Martin Bushby was there.
Hey.
With the Ogdens, who you can hear chanting in the clip they showed.
No way.
Andy and Jeff Ogden making their AEW debut this week, which was pretty funny.
Well, oh, that's a pretty sweet match to
I
go
think
see.
They were chanting he's just a bastard to like Dizzy Rascal or something.
They were singing that he's a bastard. Yeah, yeah. He's a
but
bastard.
Good match. We watched this last night after NXT.
Yeah, Shota's my guy. Shooter Umino, who is Red Shoe's son. Ever since that Forbidden Door thing, he was one of the standouts on that
Absolutely.
Show for me, anyways. And like, I think New Japan, if they work this guy properly, they could have someone to go forward with in
star
a
in
few
future,
years. Like, yeah, I see a star down the line with this guy for sure. And obviously the history of his dad with Red Shoes. And then we were watching it and you were like, how is he not, why doesn't he wear red boots? And I'm like, no. When he has his first ever like big title match in the Tokyo Dome, like I'm talking 10 years or something.
He'll wear his dad's
He'll wear
boots.
Red fucking shoes.
Does Red Shoes have to retire first, I guess, for him to get the boots?
Yeah, true. Yeah. Or just wear red something. But I love his gear anyway. I thought Bastard Pack versus Shota was awesome. And go check it out because it's on their YouTube channel. But we actually watched some of Dark. Look at that.
Yeah.
Crazy times.
And you can hear Cena talk all about it on this very feed.
Yeah, I'm sure he loved that match. We go to Chris Jericho, who comes out to Judas, which I saw it went gold this week.
Okay.
He said, for years, people say, you're not a real band. You're just a guy who's a wrestler who's in a band. And he's like, yeah, well, now I got a gold record. So good
gotta
for
go
him.
Got to go platinum next, right?
Yeah, yeah. Give it another year or so. I think it will. Jericho said, Jericho's by himself, and he's not in his, like, Backstreet Boys attire.
He's not looking ridiculous.
He's not the wizard.
In a suit,
he literally
his hair's
just
tied up.
He looks good. He looks good. He comes down. He says that he's not here tonight as any of the old Jericho monitors, not the Wizard, but he's here as Jericho, the living legend. He says Eddie Kingston sucks, and he says all he does is have enemies, and he's friends with his enemies, and everyone hates him. And then kind of lists every issue that Eddie Kingston has had for a while. Like his,
yeah, he lists off every, like, Santana having his head shaved, yeah. Ortiz getting his head shaved, Santana getting injured, Ruby getting injured, Danielson getting injured. Like,
he says,
everyone around you dies, essentially, is what he
says. You're bad luck, Eddie. Yeah. Anyone who gets around you because you suck, you're a loser. And he says, look at your friend Ruby, your Ruby. You need to take care of your chicks, Eddie. And then he laughs at himself. He then says that you want to challenge me to a barbed wire match. Well, you're just a mark for Onita, Funk, and Sabu, but you don't know that I won one of the first ever, I think he says the first ever Canadian barbed wire match.
Yes.
He won like 22 years ago or so, when he was 22. And he says that I'll beat you in this as well. And he says, you're jealous, Eddie, of my movie star good looks. Ooh, going off, I think, of some of the Twitter dialogue this week of people body shaming Eddie Kingston for no reason. Okay. So I think Jericho kind of poking fun there. He then says, you want violence and blood? Well, you're going to get it. Next week, Eddie Kingston's going to face the Painmaker. And we all know he's undefeated in AEW. So you go, after I beat you next week, you're going to go back to your drinking, your drugs, and your mental illnesses, and you'll realize that you'll never be on my level ever. Kind of smart promo from Jericho, making it a bit more serious, down to earth.
Yeah, they needed to do this,
yeah.
I think, to really sell. I thought it was a really good promo here, and I like the stuff that he's bringing up, kind of everyone around him sort of suffering. And yeah, it made this, you're doing a death match next week. You can't have the Wizard, really. I think it needed to take a bit more serious tone. And this was it. I did see on Ric Flair tweeted out a picture of Jericho. Have you seen this?
No.
He goes, living legend in your own mind. Shawn Michaels wannabe. Ric Flair never will be. Woo. Where did you buy that cheap suit? Obviously not from at Gents Playbook.
What in the hell?
So now is he claiming that
he's trolling legend, people?
Living legend is him?
He's trolling people to help get an ad out in his tweets?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I found the match, his first one.
Okay.
Jericho. It was January 29th, 1993, at Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling for the North American Heavyweight Championship. Chris Jericho taking on Beef Wellington.
He's mentioned Beef Wellington a few times, actually, in his promos over the years. Interesting. Beef Wellington. You know how he looks. He's big. His name's Beef Wellington.
I doubt there's any footage of this, but I'd be intrigued.
So Ric Flair just randomly shooting on Jericho on Twitter for no reason.
Yep.
Is it because he doesn't have an opponent yet for his fucking match? Like, what's the deal?
Next week, right?
What's the deal with that? Why are you going?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, they've not announced it, have they?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, to be honest, they probably don't need to announce it until the match.
Yeah.
Everyone's there to see Flair, so.
Yeah. I thought this Jericho promo was really good. They're bringing it way back to the feud. Like, the first time they had the match, Eddie and Jericho, it was awesome. Mm. It's a match of the year, like, contender.
Definitely.
And now they're adding the element more violence. The last time Jericho, I know it's silly and stupid that he's using the Painmaker stuff, but I don't mind it at all, because last time he did it, he fought Nick Gage.
Oh, was that it? Okay.
So,
which is probably about a year ago, wasn't it?
Probably around that time. So I'm definitely down. And then they don't mention it in his promo, but when we go back, Eddie Kingston is upset, and he's basically stealing a part of the show, being like, "Yeah, you gave him all that time. You're not going to give me that time." He goes, "Jericho, let's go." He says, "You want to bring the most violent version of yourself? Bring it, because the Eddie Kingston I know, the Eddie Kingston I am, will come and basically he's going to kill him." So this could be violent.
Barbed wire everywhere.
Barbed wire everywhere match. Everywhere. We should mention it's the shark cage match, which Jericho didn't mention, but we do get the mention of
it. It's on the graphic
later.
As well for next week. So JAS suspended above the ring in a shark cage. In barbed wire.
Jericho just loves shark cage matches. He's been involved in one, right? We talked about it on the show.
At least one. He had the Kevin. It was Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns with him in a shark cage.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, listen to the show.
We go to our next match. It's the interim AEW champion, Jon Moxley. So is it interim, like, in the future, in, like, 3 years, when you go, hey, look at all the accolades Jon Moxley's done. It'll never say two-time AEW champion. It'll just
say interim, yeah. Unless he, like, beats Punk.
Sure, gotcha. Yeah. They do say in his entrance, I think, that Jon Moxley is the interim champion, and he will be facing Punk at a later date to find out.
Champion is.
He does say that. And then Moxley, this is an eliminator match against, I always forget how to pronounce his first name, because I know it's Takeshita, but Konosuke?
Konsuki, is it?
Konsuki Takeshita. This guy is amazing. Anytime I've seen him, you saw him last week live against Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, which was match of the night easily last week.
Konosuke Takeshita.
Konosuke.
Okay. Great. This guy is awesome. We've seen him in a bunch of matches, but now he's in an eliminator match with Jon Moxley. And if he wins, he gets a title shot next week against Moxley. We have a series of chop battles and back and forth, and Jon Moxley's getting a little fired up that Takeshita's like coming back at him with everything. So he hits him with a sit-out pile driver, spiking him for a near fall. There's then a German coming from Takeshita, like just sending Moxley flying, and then he hits Moxley at some point, like with this move on the apron. And then when Moxley comes back at him, he hits him with this boot to the head that sends him flying, and it looked like a receipt. But then I'm like, is this what cut him open? Because the next shot.
So yeah, in PNP, you just see Takeshita's head is just bleeding.
Yeah. Takeshita's head, his whole face is covered in blood, and they're continuing fighting. He fights back and hits a brainbuster on Moxley. He hits a Rana sending up to the outside, and then a like picture-perfect swan dive con Hilo, which was great. Back in the ring, Moxley's doing all sorts of different submission variations and transitions, and Takeshita's like blocking them and scouting them and getting out of them. Very good back and forth. Eventually, he hits a frog splash off the top and then counters the King Kong Lariat into like this blue thunderbomb, just crushing Moxley for a near fall. He goes for his finishing high knee, but it's countered into the double arm DDT, then turned into the sleeper. He gets out of it. There's suplexes and getting dropped on each other's heads. There's head butts, and then a high angle paradigm shift, the bully choke. He taps out. Moxley wins.
The counter of the set, when he went for like the Death Rider version, the elevated, and Takeshita kind of flipped out of it.
Lands on his
feet.
That
looked great. Yeah, this was really good. Takeshita's on quite the run. And every time, even in losing, he's gaining so much more from this audience, I think, because people are seeing how legit this guy is. And I can totally see him being a big star down the line.
Yeah, me too.
I really enjoyed this match. I enjoyed the Kingston match last week. I thought this was just as good, if not better. And a better showing from Mox than the Brody King match, I thought, as well, which I didn't particularly like. I thought this was excellent.
Yeah, Konosuke Takeshita. This guy improves me every time I see him, and he's awesome. The match with Hangman really stuck out for me, but yes. I think I may have even liked this one even more than that one, and I really love that one. So this guy's on quite a run. Sign him, TK. Just keep him here.
He's not signed.
This is like an excursion, I think, or something. It seems as if. So, but I would definitely snag him up. I think everything he's doing is great. And I don't know if you've seen his social media game, but ever since coming over to the States, he's found love for Cinnabon. And Cinnabon wished him luck today on their official Cinnabon Twitter account.
And he replied like, "Thanks, baby," or something like that, didn't he?
They go back and forth all the time. He's gonna have Cinnabon gear. For sure.
That's so funny.
I hope they give him, like, they've been sending him gift cards, but they need to send him, like, Cinnabons for life.
Yeah.
Just because.
You've got, I think it's the black card in the UK for Nando's.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran has one. Okay. Which means you can get Nando's whenever you want.
A lot of wrestlers have I met Miz in a Subway once, in, like, Barrie, Ontario.
Right.
And he was like, Subway card. I did an ad for them. I was like, nice. It exists. It's a real thing.
But Miz said that to you?
He flashed the
card. In Sudbury, did you say?
No, it was probably Barrie or something. Okay. Yeah. We were literally just like, oh, I'm going to Subway before the show. I was probably like smoking in the parking lot. I'll be right back. I'm like, is that the fucking Miz? And he's like, yo, what's up? And I'm like, of course you're getting Subway. And then he literally is like cashing out and he's like,
put a card.
Do an ad. Damn. You'll get one. I'm like, oh, shit, Subway card? Which place would you want a card to?
I don't think Subway.
I mean, you have a card to the After Hours kind of down the street.
I do. Yeah,
Subway would be all right.
I could have a lot of, like, some
McDonald's.
No, I'm thinking more like, fuck.
Cinnabon. Like, you eat one and you want to just.
I wouldn't want Cinnabon.
Die for 3 days.
Thinking more like sweetness. You know, like a burrito place, being able to get a wrap or a bowl or something like that.
Unlimited Chipotle for me.
Yeah, I don't really rate Chipotle compared to other places, but yeah, that kind of place.
I know what you want. You want a card for everything Honey Garlic.
God, no.
give Takeshita.
Wasted on me.
Takeshita gets the Cinnabon card for sure. He needs to have a move that's like the Cineswirl or something like creamy. I don't know.
What's their things called?
Cinnabons.
They're called Cinnabon and they sell Cinnabon.
Cinnabons.
They've got like stuff, like different things they sell, don't they?
I have not been to a Cinnabon in a long time, but I'm sure they're really still really good, but you just always hate yourself after eating one. So shout out Cinnabons. Maybe they have other flavors, but like they're still cinnamon buns.
They've got Bon Bites, Churro Swell.
Yeah.
Cookie Bon Bite, Cinna Sweeties, Cinnabon Sticks. Oh, they look good. Yeah, I'd get the Cinnabon Bon Sticks.
Welcome to our ads.
Yeah.
In our shows. Have you been enjoying? It's better than Parler. We go, well, I again, praise this match. This was awesome.
Great stuff.
Really, really got into it. And John Moxley as the guy in AEW, he really is the flag bearer for this company. It feels sometimes. As soon as Punk was taken out, Punk almost felt like a fake flag bearer there for a second. And this guy slides back in like, nah, don't worry, I got this.
Oh, 100%.
So,
yeah, I think it made way more sense putting the title on someone like him while it's interim rather than crowning someone new for like a fake title kind of thing, if you know what I mean.
It makes way more sense. It is. It's like, we'll give it to you because you've already had it.
Yeah.
We see a recap of Brody King and Darby Allin from last week, where Darby was like, yo, you're good. You're amazing. Keep up.
Good try, mate.
Yeah.
You tried your best.
Then it cuts to clips. This was making rounds on social media yesterday. Darby Allin's at an autograph signing. Imagine this. You're at Azumi's. You're just trying to buy really expensive hoodies in the corner over there when someone's just attacked in the store and powerbombed through a table.
Yeah. So he was doing a signing, and
Brody's like, yo, you patronizing me? I didn't want to beat you up when you said it to me, but I thought about it for a few days.
I mean, fair play. Like, you've had this war of a match, and then this little Darby kid is like, hey, you tried your best, buddy.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
He's like Sanger, but the opposite.
Yeah.
In NXT.
Yeah.
He was always like, oh, you're small, but the other way around.
Small, but you did well.
You're big and you're strong, but you didn't win. So Brody was stewing over this for a long time and attacked Darby at Azumi's and powerbombed him through a table, which sets up next week on Dynamite Fighter Fest. They're going to face one-on-one, which sounds pretty good. So
yeah.
Cool. We get Christian Cage coming out through the heel ramp, of course, wearing a turtleneck, of course, because he's turtleneck Christian Cage. He brings out his Luchasaurus, who comes out looking like Kane, like all black.
He's got all the fire.
Yeah.
Even the music is kind of like Kane's theme.
Exactly. His new problem solver, a dinosaur. Christian Cage starts talking shit about the Varsity Blondes who are standing in the ring. And he says, Griff, I don't even know who Griff, where was that on the Dark Order thing? I think this week they're like, who the fuck's Griff Garrison? they're having a match and they're all like, wait, who the fuck is Griff Garrison?
What, the Dark Order?
I think so. Yeah. I forget.
What was that on Being the Elite?
Maybe. I saw it online again this week, but I was laughing. Basically, he says that. Christian says, and then we have Brian Pillman and he calls his dad mid at best. He just loves making fun of people's
dead dads.
Yeah. Jeez. He then says that it doesn't matter about your dad. He wasn't that good. Unlike me, I'm a multiple-time world champion. He loves saying multiple-time because he won that title technically twice. Yeah, remember the storyline?
He did.
one more match. He then...
Well, like, and then I guess NWA Championship, if you want to.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, well. Hell yeah. You're right. Look at you. Making no, sure no, TNA. TNA. What was the name of Christian's stable in TNA?
Fucking Peeps.
That would have been a better name than what they went with.
The fucking Peeps.
No, they went with... That would have been better. Peeps.
Peeps.
The Peeps. The Peep Show or whatever. But he went with Christian's Coalition.
I did know that. Yeah.
You should have known that.
I did know that.
Yeah. You want to hear us talk about Christian in TNA? We recently did a Christian Cage versus Samoa Joe in the main event of Destination X 2007.
We did?
Yeah, just
how recent was that?
A few weeks
that
ago.
That feels like a year ago now.
No, it was just like...
It was like last week.
Yeah, it was like 2-3 weeks ago. Yeah. Well, Christian talks some shit and then posts up a picture of Griff Garrison. And I thought he was going to do the thing where... Because I don't know if we've even said it on a show, but we keep saying Griff Garrison's kind of like Edge.
Well, we would make fun of JR because JR would always bring it up whenever Griff Garrison would have a match. He'd be like, ah, he's like a young Adam Copeland there.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to do the
same. He set it up for it.
He was like, and this guy sucks because he looks like Jungle Boy.
he set it up that way. So Luchasaurus goes down to the ring, beats up Griff, hits him with a huge German, a choke slam, another choke slam, pins him right away. After the match, he beats up Pillman as well, lays him on a table, choke slams Griff on top of him. The table doesn't break. So Christian's like, you're doing
time.
It again.
One more time.
So he does it again and choke slams him right through the table with Brian Pillman on it, which did look good.
Yeah, fuck these guys.
It's very Kane of Luchasaurus just to be like choke slamming people. And
I feel this is like Varsity Blondes are definitely the babyface jobber tag team, aren't they? That you can just throw out there to get destroyed.
It's unfortunate for them, yeah.
So tag match next week has been announced, right? It's Luchasaurus and Christian against Varsity Blondes.
Yeah.
I see Christian not actually wrestling in that.
Right.
But just being on the apron and letting his dinosaur do the work. I feel like we haven't seen Christian wrestle for a long time.
It's been a while since I've seen Christian wrestle. Chris Leone in the Twitch chat's reminding us that when Christian mentioned he was a multiple-time world champion, we're also discarding the fact he was ECW world champion.
Oh, of course.
Can't ever disrespect the WWE ECW world title. Christian in action next week. Book it. I want to see if... I think you're right. I think he doesn't even do anything. And it's...
Will he even be in gear?
Will Jungle Boy come back, or is he actually hurt right now?
I don't know, but I think you can still have him off for a while.
Like, the match is at All Out.
Yeah, it's Jungle probably Boy All Christian. Out, so you can have him chill for a bit, sell the injury.
Jungle Boy's going to bring out Tyson Tomko 1 week.
Maybe he needs the chainsaw.
To do what?
No, he needs an asteroid, doesn't he, to take out the dinosaur.
Yeah. I don't want to see them fight.
Exactly. Who would be Aerostar? Get him. That's like, kind of like an asteroid.
Is that one of the Lucha guys?
Yeah.
Nice. That's a reach. We go to Tony Schiavone backstage with Daddy Magic, who, fight me, I think has one of the best promos going in today's modern era of wrestling. This guy's talking. He's on fire. He's so mad. He's like, you're telling us you're putting us in a cage next week? Yeah, he's French-Canadian, but talks like New Jersey.
Yeah.
He says, what's with cages? Why do we still keep getting put in these cages? We're in a cage. And now you're telling me I'm getting another cage? I'm sick of these cages. Cool Hand Ange pulls out his knife, but it's not a knife. It's his comb. He's like, calm down. It's just a comb. I love how he tries to scare Tony Schiavone with this. Then Garcia talks some shit to Yuta and says, you've been cosplaying as me. You think you're some tough guy now. You've taken my identity, so I'm going to take yours and take that pure title from you at the Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
I think we're going to see 2.0 bleed again next week.
They're not even... They're in the match in a cage. They can't even get near the barbed wire.
Have you seen wrestling before, Brayden?
So both of them are going to be bleeding.
They're bleeding.
Garcia
next
too.
Next week. Yeah, why not?
I'm hyped
for... Will Garcia be in a do-rag next week?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. I saw over... Was it this past weekend? Maybe July 4th weekend? there was a picture. Was it Private Party posted with Daniel Garcia? And they're like, just so everyone knows, Garcia was invited to the cookout. I love Garcia talking shit the way he talks it. Yeah. I think he's one of the best ones coming up too. Like he's getting, I think this was the best
move for him,
100%. Because he already talks so much better. He's already got, he's not just some guy doing cool moves in wrestling. He's like got his thing figured out now and it's coming together. And I'm hyped for that match. I will be checking that Death Before Dishonor out because so far it looks pretty good.
So July 23rd, right?
Yeah. So then we go to, I mean, yeah, the Shark Cage thing is actually happening. And it's so that just the Jericho guys are in the cage. No one else.
Just JS, yeah.
So the other guys will obviously come
out. They're all hurt.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. That's true. So, yeah, Santana. Damn, yeah, you're right. We have Hangman backstage. He's wearing a nice tie-dye shirt. He's feeling the vibe.
Yeah. Wasn't wearing his cowboy shit this week.
Well, he gets interrupted pretty much right away, and it's the Dark Order, Silver and Reynolds, and they say, don't worry, Hangman, we're going to have a match with the Spooky Perverts next week, referencing the House of Black. So I think Hangman Malachi Black is a program we're going to. I'm not quite sure where this direction is kind of. He didn't really get to speak, so. But
so what, we're getting 3-on-3 next week?
Oh, it is 3-on-3. Oh, okay.
Or were they putting out the feeler to Hangman?
Yeah, I'm not, I don't
it
know.
It wasn't in the match rundown later, was it? But no, it that's wasn't. What it sounded like. It was going to be...
Or Rampage.
Reynolds, Silver, and Hangman. Oh, was it? Yeah, perhaps.
There's all these things.
I don't know. There's so many matches. There's Ring of Honor. There's so much. Now there's matches on Dark. There's women's matches in Japan going on.
Who the fuck is Griff Garrison?
Who the fuck is Griff Garrison?
No, shout out Griff Garrison. Hey, it's 9 o'clock, halfway through the show. You know what that means.
JR comes out.
That's right. We get a whole spot of him.
Excited.
He looks so unenthusiastic when he's getting to the table. He's just like walking over. Oh, man. Come on, JR. He heard Jake Hager was wrestling.
He's going to stay up later now. He used to finish his job and go home at 10. And he's going to sit and do Rampage after, doesn't he?
Oh, is he do Rampage?
He does Rampage now.
Okay.
Yeah.
He heard Jake Hager was wrestling Boomer Sooner, yeah. So he came out here for this match.
At what time is JR going to like stop pretending that Jake Hager's one of the greatest wrestlers on earth? I'm not saying Jake Hager's bad.
Right.
He's fine.
Right.
He's okay.
Yeah.
But it's when JR's going like, these are two of the most underappreciated wrestlers on the planet. It's like, one of them is JR.
JR just
and he wasn't from Oklahoma.
Yeah, JR loves to talk about Jake Hager.
He loves him so much.
Yeah, I mean, football, wrestling, and he's from Oklahoma. Oh, come on.
And likes the Mary Jane as well.
You know, who was I talking to? I was messaging with Robert Pearson, and I think he was in Oklahoma this week. So I was like, oh, like Boomer Sooner. And then we were discussing like, why doesn't JR have his own line? And like, there's so many different, he's got his main event Mustard.
Yeah.
You know, he could have Boomer Sooner Kush, you know?
True. Yeah.
By God, OG.
I think when he retires, that's going to be his next move.
Sauce in it, like there's so many different things you could go with for JR's brand of Kush.
Dump it in a mud hole.
I'm buying it. That's what I'm trying to say, JR. The barbecue sauce is great, but think about what else you could do. It's some good shit. Jake Hager combined, Boomer Sooner Kush, be good. Wow, I forgot about Jake Hager. It's a plant. It's fine.
Just don't drive.
Yeah.
Jake.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, Jake Hager going one-on-one with a former partner of his, Claudio Castagnoli.
Cesaro, the people.
That's right. The All-Americans, the real Americans. No Dutch Mantel out here tonight for them. But pretty cool considering these guys were a team and have fought quite a bit. We're doing some retro NXT reviews on What's Next. And at the moment we're at right now, these two kind of dip in and out.
They're featured. That they are teaming at this time and everything.
We the people.
I think Excalibur brings up that they had over 100 tag matches together. They were together for quite a while.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
I love how their gimmick was they don't want people coming into this country stealing people's jobs, and Cesaro was not.
He did it the right way. That's what Zeb always said. He did it the
came
right way.
The right way.
He came through the right way.
We
he didn't sneak across the border. He got those papers, pays his taxes, did it the right way, the American way.
Yeah. And then I love their theme song.
Oh, it's the best. Cesaro should have just kept it, I think.
Yeah, it was
he should have fought Jake, Swagger at the time, for the rights of that theme, because that theme's a banger.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This one he's got here, it's funny, but someone said it reminded us of like one of those like Christmas ABC lineups.
Okay.
And it's like shows and clips of like Home Alone this Wednesday night. Like all the Christmas movies. All the time. Dun, 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 dun,
oh, it 100% dun. Is, isn't it?
It fits that completely. But it's fine. Claudio versus Hager. So this starts off with Excalibur mentioning again that these two know each other extremely well. And that seems to be the case because every time one of them goes for one of their signature moves really quickly early on, they keep blocking it. They keep scouting it. They keep knowing exactly where to be to get out of these moves. So it's pretty cool to see them go back and forth. Eventually, Claudio gets the upper hand by tripping Hager into the ropes and hits the Tiger faint kick, the 619.
The Swiss 19.
The Swiss 19, that's right.
His is a little slow. I love Claudio, but it's not the most, like...
It looked like he got him in the face. I liked it.
He goes around so slowly, though.
Io Shirai does it really well. But, I mean, we know who the
This is more like Dominic's than Ray's, is what I'm saying. I like Claudio, but I'm just...
Comparing Claudio to Dominic?
I don't think his 619's the best.
You just compared Claudio
to Dominic. I'm saying it's slow. It's a slow 619 like Dominic's. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have a good 619. No. I want to love it, but it's not good. I didn't mind this one. He did look like he kicked him in the face. He then hits a series of power moves, but Hager comes back with like those side slam wrestling moves that we've seen him do. He eventually hits the Hager bomb for a near fall. Claudio comes back and hits him with a series of uppercuts and more uppercuts, eventually gets the big swing and then puts him in the sharpshooter when Daddy Mac...
They need to call it the sharpshooter for
when
Claudio.
He does it.
They kept saying Scorpion Deathlock, and I'm like, maybe not
it's
for
a
this
thing.
Guy. Scorpion Deathlock for Sting and Darby.
Yeah. Shout out TJ.
When it's Claudio, it's for TJ, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, Daddy Magic and Cool Hand come down to the apron and distract. So Claudio tries to get them away. When he turns around, he gets hit with this huge, like, rock bottom from Hager for a near fall. He comes back with a series of uppercuts, pops Hager up in the air with an uppercut again, and then Ricola bomb, 1, 2, 3. Claudio beats Hager.
Yeah, I thought this was pretty fun. I like just watching big guys smack each other around.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, boy. Okay, I'm tired. who is it, Tobias? Yeah, from Arrested Development.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was impressive as always. Like Claudio's strength, Jake being pretty big guy who he's managing to hit these moves on, like the pop up uppercut and the Ricola bomb. Wasn't anything crazy special, but I did have fun with this one.
I got into it for sure. Probably one of the better Jake matches, if not his best match, maybe singles match, at least in AEW. But I thought it felt like it was special and fun that these two got to face each other and do this. And of course, Claudio getting the win here. But going forward, does Claudio just like eventually just get his own program now that he's maybe moving away from the Jericho people?
I think so.
Like, is Claudio going to save Eddie next week?
I could see that being, save Eddie next week. Yeah, maybe. I mean, Eddie, you would assume the Eddie feud wraps up next week with Jericho. This is the blow off. Maybe that is the next thing you set up.
Yeah, like what's Claudio's all out match?
Yeah.
Eddie?
We still, I'd like something like Miro, I think could be cool. Or, Eddie makes the most sense, I think. If you're going to, you've introduced that story already. Both will need a big match. So, yeah, I could see it being Eddie.
Well, after this, we go to Hook backstage being interviewed. He doesn't want to talk, though.
Yeah, he's asked about his win record and, well, shouldn't you be thinking about going for a title? because you're undefeated so far.
And then he just kind of shakes his head.
Like, shrugs and walks away.
So, yeah, kind of weird that he... But they're setting up for down the line of some sort of thing. But, I mean, what's he going to go for? The TNT? That's kind of wrapped up right now. Mm. The All-Atlantic? What other titles do we have here? There's a few.
ROH titles.
I love titles in wrestling right now. Tanahashi did an interview for New Japan, hyping up like the G1. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to win the whole G1, win the IWGP title, and then, I'm going to go back to AEW and win the world title. It's like, oh, really? Because the IWGP means shit right now?
Well, he's done it already, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What title is Hook
I'd
going
like to
for?
I might see Tana as the AEW champion one
Hook
day.
Versus Tana.
Yeah.
What is Hook's program, right? Like, are they going to put him in a big slot with someone? Like, is it time to do that?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of feel he's lost a bit of momentum recently with the Danhausen stuff. And then, I mean, what's he been doing? Nothing, really.
Eating chips.
He got mad at Marvez for no reason last week. He just hates interviewers.
It's a Cheetos thing.
Yeah. Perhaps one of the, I guess TNT eventually.
Well, it's Wardlow, so Hook Wardlow. One of them's got the levy's got to break.
Lose, yeah.
So we'll see. Thunderstorm is backstage. They're all happy and friendly because they're best friends. And they're talking about how they had a match and they won. They show a clip of Thunder Rosa, who is the women's champion here in AEW, losing in a cross-promotional match. This was also on...
was in Tokyo.
Yeah, this was on Dark as well, right?
I think so.
But which company was this? Joshi Pro.
I'm not sure.
I didn't watch this match, but all I know is they showed a clip of Thunder Rosa eating a pin. She got pinned.
She got pinned.
Here she is smiling after they showed the clip, and she's like, "Yeah, I got my pin, but I'm going to be giving her an opportunity." Miyu, I think it was.
Yeah, Tokyo Joshi Pro. It was Miyu Yamashita.
Yeah. So maybe we're getting the singles match rematch.
She says it's happening.
Okay,
yeah,
sweet.
She said we're getting this match in America and it will be for the title and good. I'll get my win back.
Good for her to put the title on the line. But this is when they're interrupted. There's so many interruptions in AEW. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter walk in and they mock Thunderstorm. They say it's terrible. They say thunderstorms are dangerous and cause all sorts of destruction. And that, you know, there's one thing to stop all the flooding and things breaking from the thunderstorms, a sandbag. And then she throws a sandbag over to them and then says, yeah, I've been carrying her all year, and walks off. Mm. Britt Baker just being like, hey, remember this champion you're trying to get over?
I completely forgot Britt Baker was a thing, to be honest, when she came in. Where's she been recently?
Doing this. All she does is like, this. I don't know.
I feel like, yeah, she's kind of like dropped recently for me. I didn't think anyone really came across that well here.
The Thunderstorm thing seems like it's almost like Tony Storm. This is a ruse. This is like NXT 2.0 right now with the tag team division.
Yeah, like, it's why you being a tag team right now when you're the main champion.
Yeah,
it's make tag teams with the other people not doing stuff. Seems a little odd.
Buy your Thunderstorm shirt now, because you always tell me you regret not buying Y2AJ.
Yeah. It feels like it's almost, oh, this is too good a name to...
Thunderstorm.
Like, it was.
Put it on a shirt. Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't think Thunder really sounded that great here. I thought the sandbag gap, I mean, it's, yeah, just a bit odd.
It's baseball.
Yeah, it's bringing up the kind of gif that went around the other week. Was it when she fought Marina?
Yeah.
People were saying she was sandbagging and stuff. I didn't really click with this. I feel Britt needs to actually get into a proper program. We've seen the Thunder Rose from Britt stuff like multiple times.
Yeah.
That doesn't... We've seen the Thunder... the Tony Storm Britt thing.
Already. You've seen all of this already. Just move away from it.
Yeah, just break up with Jamie and start that feud.
I think the women's division is a mess right now still. Like, here, it seems
there's
like...
It's just not...
Nothing seems like...
There's not a star.
Like, again, you just showed me a again, I'm so, I think it's so cool they're doing cross promotional stuff with Joshi Pro and all this stuff, and they already said, yeah, she's giving her a rematch. they show the clip and go, Excalibur's like, wow, like Thunder Rosa lost. And then cuts to Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm, and they're just
happy,
laughing and dancing around like we're having the greatest day.
It's
like,
yeah.
No, first of all, why are you hanging out with someone? You're the champ.
Yeah.
Let's focus on that. Yeah. You should be cutting your shit and saying, yeah, I know she gets to that in the promo, but like it just came across like it's so none of this matters. And Britt Baker always interrupting Thunder Rosa is just a gag at this point, a trope in AEW, yeah. Just her interrupting everyone. I think Britt could take a sideline for now. Heat up Hater in some sort of way with another feud. Let Thunder Rosa and I guess Tony, if that's the direction they're going to go again. But the women's division still seems like it's not clicking the way maybe they think it is. But
you start to have some good matches here and there, but it doesn't have the star power, I don't think, of the rest of the company.
Yeah.
I noticed it when I was at the event. People leave during the women's matches. They go and get a drink. They go to the toilet. They go for a smoke or whatever. And that's like, we don't really see that in recent years with the women. Because in WWE, like for all their faults, the women are seen as big a star, if not bigger, than some of the men. And I don't know if it's just they're not on the level, whether it's they're not. They haven't had enough time to get over. I don't know what it is. But yeah. I also find it odd. And AEW does this a lot. They bunch all the women's segments together. Here you had this Thunder Rosa interview. You have the D-Banner J match. And then you have Jade and the Baddies. And it's like the whole women's bit is like this 15-minute portion of the
show.
Yeah,
they always do that.
And they do that quite a lot. And it's just, it's interesting. It's not clicking with me, the division. And I do think there are some talented people there, but Britt, it's like the star thing's kind of, I feel like it's fading a little at this point.
She had a run. She can chill for a bit. Like, yeah. Of course, you can come back and fight someone else for the title, be champion again. You know,
what I'm saying is there's no one else there who's ever got that reaction that she's had.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, Thunder Rosa is
treated as that kind of star.
Until we get Sasha Banks, Mercedes Vernado.
Yeah.
Coming in here. I think Jade has the character of the champion down pat. I mean, this past 100%. Week, photos of NASCAR things going around. They had WWE Women's Champion Bianca hanging out at NASCAR. They had TBS Champion Jade hanging out at NASCAR. Nice. Where was Thunder Rosa? Losing in Japan.
Yeah.
Jade comes across.
On dark.
Jade comes across as the actual
100%.
Star. 100%.
So absolutely.
Title v title. Let's go. Jade beat her.
Yeah.
At this point, I feel like that's the only other match you could go to. That's big for this
right
women's
now.
Division.
But they bring in already like Athena.
Athena, you just brought her in, and she's already like
an afterthought. Yeah. Like has she even had a title match? I don't know. Like she's already, I've forgotten about her.
Yeah.
Toni Storm is just best friends with the tag champion now. Like she's had some good matches, but like no one like Ruby. They were hot with her for a month, and then. They moved
now
on.
She got her hand
There's
caught in
no
the door.
Kind of like staying power with any of them apart from Britt, it seems.
Yeah, it's weird that they have, like, they, I guess they thought Thunder Rosa was going in that direction, but I think something didn't click.
It's always weird with a baby face because as soon as they've got the title, as soon as they've achieved it, you're like, ah, okay. You saw it with Hangman. He got there. It was the big moment that been building for 2 years. He gets the championship, and then everyone's like, all right, CM Punk, right? Like,
yeah.
Whereas I think heel title reigns normally work better because the chase is always way more interesting, a story.
Yeah.
As soon as you're just a babyface champion, you're kind of dull. You need to add something else.
You need open challenges.
And not smiling about losing a match in Japan.
And forming
on
teams.
On Dark the other week and being best friends with someone because her name is Storm and you're Thunder. That's not enough.
I agree. It feels like none of it seems like it's as big as maybe they think it is. We do have a women's match here because it's the women's segment on the show, like you mentioned. Mm. And it's Serena Deeb going one-on-one against Savannah's own Anna Jay. And Deeb beats down on her early on here. And Anna, though, fires back with a series of like fast like slapping moves here, and including like this jumping, slapping flatliner, like slides in and hits it, looked pretty good. Picture in picture, Serena Deeb is firing back with Anna going in for different holds and submissions. When we come back, Anna fires back with like almost like a side kick to the head, almost like X-Pac, almost like Booker T.
She twisted the arm first and then kicked to the back.
Did a pretty cool kick here. Yeah, a few of those ones. There's a series of roll-ups, more crazy like neck crank submission holds, like surfboards.
Serena does the one where she like just kind of sits on your head and pulls the arms right back. Does look very painful.
Anna hits that other sidekick, like you mentioned, with the arm thing, just taking her head off, and then goes for the Queen Slayer repeatedly, her submission move. But eventually, Deep gets out of that, and the Serenity Lock is in, and Anna Jay is forced to tap out. Serena Deeb wins.
Anna Jay being the hometown girl here. Yep, and they... After the commercial break, I actually got into this a little bit. I thought they were quite ambitious with some things, and some of it just didn't kind of work as well. Like, it wasn't as smooth transitioning from, like, kind of move to move. There was a really strange bit where Serena just, you know, like the setup for the Unprettier where you, like, twist the arms round, where she kept doing that and kept spinning round and round and round. And the idea was to make Anna Jay dizzy. So she like dizzies her and then goes for like the spike pile driver. But then Anna Jay just backdropped her. And it was like, you just did something that looked really stupid and it didn't even pay off.
Yeah, it was weird.
That was quite weird.
I feel like when it came back from commercial, it was a better match.
Oh, it definitely picked up after the commercial. But yeah, it was all right. I did get into it towards the end.
After the match.
Yeah, there were some good near falls as well for Jay.
There was,
The Queen Slayer, when she kind of countered and caught her in that, crowd really got into that. But yeah. This is all right.
I agree. And then after the match, there was an attack from Serena. So out comes Mercedes Martinez, the ROH Women's Champion, for the save. And I think that's the match for that title at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. I just don't really care.
Yeah, I think we have three women's champions now.
I like Serena Deeb. Mercedes, again, she's someone who showed up, had a match, disappeared for a few months.
Won the world.
Then was in the main event against Deonna Purrazzo 1 week randomly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, again, being at, like, Rampage last week with this tag match that kind of set it up, just crickets in the crowd. I'm sure, like, both Serena Deeb, I'm a big fan of. Mercedes Martinez, obviously a veteran. I'm sure the match is going to be good. But this, it just feels odd, this kind of cross-promotion thing you're doing. Like, ROH doesn't have TV yet, so you've got to set stuff up on AEW for this pay-per-view. But what I kind of feel is, okay, here's the B team for our B pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I feel the crowd feel that as well, because it just feels dead during these segments.
Yeah, a lot. It died for this, especially the attack after. We were just like, yeah, all right, whatever. But I'm sure the match will be good, but it is kind of weird that there's a lot going on. If you maybe just focused more on some things instead of just throwing everything out there, it might kind of work out a bit better.
Once they get their own TV or whatever, I'm sure it'll help more. But like for now, just what? You have Dark and you have Dark Elevation. Just use the Universal Studios you have and just make that ROH for now.
Yeah,
one have it as a YouTube show.
I would
something.
Yeah, they have an issue. They have a hard time of making us care about the AEW Women's Champion, the TBS Women's Champion, and now the Ring of Honor Women's Championship. When Ring of Honor isn't even really a thing right now, and these characters are nowhere near like being big draws are over really at the time with the crowd. So it just kind of, it's setting up for like not working.
Yeah.
Like you said, a lot of people are just like, oh, okay. I didn't know this was happening. Don't really know what this is about, but that's what it felt like for sure. The women's block that you got, the curse of the women's block on Dynamite. Cause then we go to the baddies and they're still fighting cause they don't want the new baddie.
Layla Gray is just hanging. Wouldn't you just leave?
I'd hang out with Layla Gray.
If I hang out with some friends and they're like, look, I don't want you to hang around with me. I would be like, all right, but I'm going to stand here anyway. No, we don't like you.
No, we don't want
you. We don't want you to hang around with
us. That was like,
okay, I'm just going to stand here though.
That was like us the other day with one of your friends. We were like, yo, get out of here.
Go away.
He, like Layla, didn't get the message.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, this was fine. Stokely's like, no, trust me, she's great. Follow me. There's like tension with Stokely and thing.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Already there's tension.
They've been together like a month, and Jade is kind of seems a bit mad at what Stokely Hathaway's doing and trying to bring Layla Gray in. I think it's a bit too early for that. Just let this thing be cool for a moment.
Yeah, obviously, why are we already teasing
this? It's a shame with Red Velvet being out. They've kind of lost something, but yeah.
I would much rather them go, yeah, we do need a baddie. Good job, Stoke.
Yeah.
Like that when then go.
But you're interim. We'll reassess when Red Velvet's back.
Maybe it's the curse of Stokely, because he was in Diamond Mine. I mean, Diamond Mine are still imploding.
They are.
From the time he was there every week, they're imploding. Maybe he's just cursed.
Maybe.
Everywhere he goes, everyone wants to break up groups. But I want to see Layla Gray be integrated into the baddie section for sure.
Jade's got a point, though. It's like, I beat you in like 30 seconds. So why? Yeah. I don't want losers.
Kira and Layla should face, and Layla should beat Kira. And then it's like, all right.
Yeah.
And then Velvet comes back and it's like, yo, what's this?
Where's my part? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have the announcements of Jay Lethal also challenging Samoa Joe for the Ring of Honor Championship. When then he comes out and grabs the commentary headset, like old school wrestling.
Here. What I found funny here was Jay Lethal comes out, grabs Tony's headset, or whatever, and cuts a promo on Samoa Joe. It's like as soon as we've gone to this ROH segment, the audio quality got worse. They're like being authentic here.
Yeah. I don't know that.
And then Tony puts it back on and just sounds crystal clear.
They just don't want Ring of Honor.
Attention to detail.
Damn. He basically cuts a promo on Samoa Joe, says, I love Jay Lethal. He did this in Ring of Honor. It's part of his heel shtick. But he's like, Samoa Joe, you're the Ring of Honor world champion and like
TV champion.
Sorry, TV champion?
Yeah.
Oh, is that who's the Ring of Honor world title?
Gresham.
Oh.
Who's defending on Friday against Moriarty.
Dude, nobody cares.
But he doesn't have a match at the pay-per-view.
Look, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to watch this pay-per-view. One way or another, I'm going to eventually watch it. But they're making it like complicated with a lot of character stuff that feels really like B. Mm. Like, yeah, it's wrestling. I'm going to watch it. Jay Lethal, Samoa Joe, cool. But really, like, are we really all really excited? Like, is that the main event?
I imagine FTR Briscoes would be
the main event.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. Are they going to announce a match for Gresham?
And you say he turned heel? He's with Tully now?
I don't think he's with Tully. He just turned on Moriarty.
He turned on... Yeah, I think he like aligned himself
Tully.
Which is like, huh? What?
Yeah. Because last week he just walked out on the match. So Moriarty's facing him like now on Rampage.
Okay,
but that could be, they that haven't could be set good. Up anything for
interesting
his opponent for the pay-per-view.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, that should be the main event then, but he's a guy who wrestles on Dark and, like, the YouTube show and stuff. So, like, is that the main event?
No. That's on Rampage.
Okay.
What I'm saying is they haven't announced who he will face, like, next week. You'd assume they're going to have the title defended.
Yeah.
Who would you do? Claudio?
Yeah.
Just give him the title?
Give him the title.
Yeah.
Do it. Book it. He'll hit the 619. Be great. Put him in the crossface.
Yeah.
Put Gresham in the crossface. Main event. Triple threat tag team match. And it is the Young Bucks defending against the team of Swerve in Our Glory and Team Taz.
We just missed Ty making fun of Anna Jay.
Oh, how could I? I apologize. They're
broken up.
I'm so sorry. Yes. Ty Conti goes back into the like locker room. The doctors are checking on Anna Jay. And she's like, huh, that sucks. Like your first match in so long and you get hurt. Like that sucks. And Anna Jay's like, oh, what do you like? They used to be best friends if you're following, but their tone, Ty's heel tone is a bit different there. And she says like, maybe you should be more focused on how you go about things. Like basically saying like, look what I'm doing lately.
Do what I do and you'll get on TV.
Yeah, you'll be on TV. You're not even on TV essentially is what she gets at. So I can't believe it. Anna Jay. What was their name?
Ty Jay. No more.
Don't tell me Ty Jay's gone.
Well, it started off with Anna Jay being the baddie, not the baddie, but the heel, trying to get her in Dark Order, and then they just became besties, and now it's gone the other way.
Man, Negative One would be so upset. You know, he was at home just screaming.
I mean, I don't know what Ty hasn't wrestled since May.
No, but she's been like making out every week with Sammy.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Anna
Jay's on being the elite. Like,
Ty is all right wrestler. She could be doing more.
Yeah.
She did wrestle. She's a champion right now of some sort.
In Mexico, right? Yeah.
Yeah, with Sammy, I think, or something. Yeah, weird. So many titles. Sorry, I couldn't believe. I mean, this sets up a match. Is this All Out? The end game?
What? Ty versus At All Out? You put it on the pay-per-view?
Yep. Main event.
Barbed wire everywhere?
Street fight tonight.
Street fight tonight.
They were in the street fight.
They were in the street fight.
Yeah,
the
these two could have a street fight. You kidding me? For sure. All right, now we can talk about the main event. The triple threat tag team match. Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. Matt and Nick Jackson and Isaiah Swerve Scott. No, that's not his name. Shane Strickland. Mm-hmm. Swerve Strickland. And Keith Lee. I saw there was a tweet that it's from Keith Lee almost sounding like he wasn't going to be in the match tonight earlier in the day. But then they announced, it's still on. So here we have it. We have Swerve and Nick Jackson early in this match who are just one-upping each other with like the kip-ups and the counters and everything. This was very impressive where they're just doing move for move, kipping up, countering each other's drop kicks. They do backflips and front flips, landing on the outside, and then try to drop kick each other as well as they go back in the ring. Really great back and forth. We get Matt Jackson doing locomotion on a bunch of different guys and then tries to do it on Hobbs and Keith Lee, which doesn't work. So he gets beat up there, but that was pretty funny. Swerve eventually does this like kip up where they go to super kick him, but he kips up and drop kicks both of them, which was impressive. There's then the Bucks, and I think it's Nick Jackson who does the thing where he like walks the ropes, but Ricky Starks is doing the thing where he walks the ropes. Mm. So they're doing the like a walk off show off when they eventually just both
they
get
both
crotched.
Slap each other, which has them fall and crotch themselves.
They both crotch each other, which is great. There's Hobbs who's in. He's hitting all sorts of moves. There's a tope from Nick to the outside. He gets caught by Keith Lee, who powerbombs the Bucks into each other. There's a frog splash from Hobbs off the top, which is crazy considering his size, but looked great, but it's a near fall. Someone gets sent to the outside. I think it was Keith Lee, and I don't know why, but the microphone seemed to pick it up because you could just hear like them breathing and huffing and puffing. It sounded like moaning.
Yeah. It sounded like Vince McMahon was paying someone $7.5 million.
Jeez.
Like,
jeez.
It was very odd, the audio.
Yeah, it was. Ricky Starks does this like rope walk move with Hobbs and then does like a super cutter off the top of the ropes. That was super crazy. That is a near fall as well, but the crowd are super hot into all three teams, honestly, and rightfully so.
It was like a cutter off an electric chair, right?
With Hobbs. Great. Insane. Yeah. That could be one of their finishers, if not if it isn't already. There's then more super kicks. Swerve does the kip-up escape again, but this time eats the double super kick and just sells it like he was just like shot in the chest. He like stops and just like folds into pieces like... Like, what is it in the Marvel? The snap? He just disappears because the super kick killed him. There's then super kicks to Ricky Starks. At one point, Ricky poses with the Bucks and helps them do a triple kick to Lee.
Yeah, so it's like Matt super kicks Lee, Nick super kicks Lee. They both do it. He's on one knee but still not down. So Ricky joins in
and they do
and does his like face pose thing while the Bucks do their thing. Of course, they then super kick.
They then double super kick Ricky in the face. There's then the ref takes a bump and
these refs, like, okay, he got like pushed in the corner and then just died for 10 minutes. Like, what's going on?
Rick Knox.
We need to get stronger refs
in wrestling.
Like he didn't get like, it wasn't like he got clotheslined or anything. Someone backed into him in the corner and he went, oh, I'm dead.
Keith Lee. He's a big boy.
Still,
but
you'd be like, oh, that winded me.
Okay,
I'm
trying to defend it, but then tell me why they even did it in the first place. It's a triple threat match.
I know.
Everything no they did, they wouldn't matter.
There's no DQ. It doesn't matter.
So they start, the Bucks take the titles and they start hitting everyone with them. Yeah. They're hitting low blows. Again, it wouldn't matter if the ref saw it.
Like, Rick Knox is unconscious from this. It's not like he's going, oh, no, he I'm was winded. Doing, oh, that hurts. He was just motionless.
He was doing when he eventually,
dead in the corner.
When he eventually
for
got
10
up,
minutes.
He was doing the I still can't see anything just in case you're doing the thing still. So, oh, wait, we're good until someone's like, yo, you're good. So he's like, oh, I'm alive now. I'm fine.
But no, you're completely right. This was so unnecessary. It's just no DQ.
This match is crazy, but it's like, wait, why did we need this spot in this? A little over contrived, I think. So there's then a BTE trigger on Swerve. 1, 2, but Ricky breaks it up for a huge hope spot there. Eventually, Swerve and Lee gain control again. They throw everyone out and eventually hit the spirit bomb. The place is going crazy, but in the 1-2 nick of time, 2.9 count
the
here.
The setup for this was awesome as well. It was the Meltzer driver caught midair with the flip into this setup for the Swerve bomb here.
Just crazy. Great. I love the spirit bomb, like stomp. Swerve bomb thing is just awesome, but it's broken up the crowd and I for one bit on this here. Eventually then Hobbs comes in and just starts spine bustering everyone,
and it's hot. The crowd are like really into Hobbs here, and these spine busters looked awesome.
He hits
this match did so well in just giving everyone their moment to like make you think that they're gonna win it, and they're having that like hot tag almost.
It was for the crowd were chanting holy shit after this spot. He was spine bustered all the Bucks, like Ricky, and then, no, not Ricky, obviously, but spine bustered the Bucks, and then one on Keith Lee. That was like huge, but like then dudes on top of him and stuff. The crowd were going crazy for this. Ricky runs in and then eventually hits a spear again for a near fall. They then have the Bucks going for super kicks, but Keith Lee pulls their shoes off at one point and then beats them with their shoes. This allows everyone going crazy. Keith Lee ends up hitting a tope over the ropes to the outside onto everyone. Eventually, we're in the ring alone with Ricky Starks, who I mentioned hits a huge spear, and that's another crazy near fall, thinking that could be the hope spot. But when everyone's beaten up
he's
and taken
even
out,
like in tears, like as he's going for the pin, he's already doing his like championship celebration with the cry, and it gets broken up right at the last second.
Eventually, it's Swerve who gets Ricky tied up just underneath the ropes out in the corner, like crouching, almost leaning, selling a move. When off the top, Swerve hits his stomp to the face, basically a cave-in off the top. And 1, 2, 3. And new AEW Tag Champions, Swerve in our glory. But, huge, great match. This was insane.
Especially the last 5 minutes, the near falls.
Holy.
Like, you bit on everyone. Like, you honestly thought, there were a few, finishes here where I'm like, okay, that's
it.
And because we're watching on delay as well, we've got, maybe a minute behind when we're watching. You look at the clock and you're going, oh, it's 10, so this has got to be the finish.
This has got to be it.
Then it's a kick out or whatever.
This was great. And I mean, we've been following Keith Lee in NXT for quite a long time. Really good to see him get some shine here. But even more specifically, Swerve getting some flowers
here. They teased that Swerve was going to turn on him during the match.
Yeah.
And he picked up the title and Lee's back is turned. He kind of just dropped it to... they're like... The kind of story right now is they're kind of not getting along, but they're winning. So why ruin a good thing?
Right.
I personally would have, if you're doing the title change, I would have liked to have seen Hobbs and Starks get this. They've been together as a team for quite a while now. I feel the crowd are really starting to like appreciate them and get behind them. And for me, Starks was maybe the star of this match. I thought he had some awesome moments in this.
Everyone
was great. I'm surprised. I was really surprised you're taking the titles off the Bucks, because I figured that would be like, you know, FTR Bucks for everything at All Out. And maybe we go back there and
there's some time.
We've still got a couple of months.
Yeah.
But I was surprised with the result here. But
I'm cool with the change. Again, so happy that these two as a team or just as wrestlers got some gold, got a win. Big, big moment for them. I've been a fan, especially Swerve. He's been through some shit, and he had the North American title. They took it away from him in this awkward, clearly change of plans thing for him in NXT. Fired him after the main roster push instantly. Now here, like putting on amazing matches and winning some gold.
Yeah,
good stuff. I mean, we all assume it's FTR Bucks at All Out, But we have time before that. So I think you could play around with this tag division a bit more. You could have FTR get the titles from them. You could have the Bucks win them back. You could have Hobbs and Starks win it in some way, shape, or form. It makes just things a little bit more interesting and greases the interest there instead of just going, hey, here's this match. You know no one challenging the Bucks for the next 2 months is going to win.
Yeah.
Now that throws that out the window, and you go, cool, we're going to have some crazy matches going forward. So super. And it could be the way to actually do the breakup. Like, cost them the tag titles. That's what really breaks you up. There's your singles match.
I hope they last a little longer than Cora and Raquel.
Right.
They already
have.
Roxy. But yeah,
they already have. Because they've been, like, they broke up. I don't know. It's weird. I'm just happy these guys won. But I will say, Hobbs is the fucking man. That guy is awesome. He shows something. But you're right. Everybody in this match showed up. I mean, the Bucks just don't miss. And I thought this was a great main event. My match of the night, it is this match, but I also really loved that Takeshita.
The Takeshita match was really good as well. Good show. I liked the Jericho promo on the show. I thought all the wrestling was pretty good, but like crazy main event, awesome stuff.
I like how
it is. I'm kind of looking forward to the ROH show being over, so hopefully we can have a bit more focus. It almost felt like this with Forbidden Door as well. It's like a little kind of distraction, and I kind of just want the main shit right now. Looking forward to checking that out next week.
So Death Before Dishonor, and then after that they'll definitely put more maybe steam behind All Out, and they've announced it obviously this week, so like going forward they'll push it pretty hard, and we can kind of map out where it goes. I don't know if Punk will be back, but I mean obviously Mox Punk would be the match to
if
go
he's
to
healthy.
It sounds like maybe there's some people saying that it's kind of clear that they wanted Punk MJF at All Out, but obviously with injuries of Punk and stuff, that's obviously not happening. But you could bring him back in some way.
I think the Punk Mox thing, you don't really need a great deal of build for it. If it is a last minute, like knowing if he'll be healthy or not, you know that's the match you'll go to, and Punk is like in the wings as soon as he's healthy, is going for that title. So you don't need months and months of storytelling for that one, I don't think.
FTR Bucks is another match. I think we're getting, again, the rubber match. Christian, Jungle Boy.
And Anna Jay, Ty Conti.
Ty Conti and a street fight. So All Out sounds great.
Yeah.
Hoffman Estates. Damn. Hangman, maybe Hangman Malakai Black. Could be down the line.
Okay.
I would do Andrade Rush versus Lucha Brothers in some way there.
Against Lucha. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I guess you had the Rush Penta match last week, didn't you?
That's right. Where he lost his mask.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, I had some fun watching this episode of Dynamite. I had some good stuff. Way better than last week. You were at probably the worst Dynamite.
It was just dull.
Yeah, nothing
happened. I enjoyed it. Like, I love being there. But, you look at how stacked this week's was.
Yeah.
And it's like, could you not spread the load a little bit?
Fighter Fest 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Should have been in Rochester.
Frank brings up a point in the Twitch room. They had to hurry off the air. Yeah, that was something. It was, okay, and they've won the titles.
Swerve
and now
Lee,
we better go to
new
Young
champion.
Sheldon.
Yeah, better like, cut to Young Sheldon because, you know, that's what we need to cut to.
It's
going to
be hard actually finding a graphic of them holding the titles without like the trademark of we're going off the air thing. Just put Young Sheldon. Yeah, okay.
Like, who am I to tell someone, like, you know, what not to watch and what to watch? But Young Sheldon, that's a real show.
It's popular.
It probably does fucking better ratings than this show.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Nothing beats Guy Fieri, though.
No.
Not a chance.
Never. They're playing him in the border control
they were.
Office, weren't they?
Flavortown, baby.
Yeah.
Fucking love Guy Fieri.
They had to make a grilled cheese with... Fuck, they had all these weird ingredients they had to do with the grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Running around the supermarket. I was watching it while the couple behind us were basically, you're not allowed in either country.
The terminal.
Yeah.
You're stuck here.
You're stuck here until
the scary border control.
Something happens, yeah.
Yeah, I liked this week of Dynamite. It had some good stuff, and going forward to some of the build to both the Ring of Honor pay-per-view and All Out sounds pretty good. Shout out Hoffman Estates. We will be back next week chatting all about Fyter Fest Part 2. Darby versus Brody is announced. Mm-hmm. We have the Barbed Wire Everywhere Death Match, which is announced. Christian Luchasaurus versus Varsity Blondes. And I'm sure they'll announce a few other things. But yeah, looking forward to next week's show.
Yeah.
As always.
And we'll probably check out Rampage this week as well, I think. From
the looks of it, yeah. They got some good stuff going on as well. Private Party Lucha Bros. Let's go.
Yeah.
Shots, shots, shots. Check out. We'll be back for NXT, of course, chatting all about NXT on Tuesday night. We'll be live on YouTube and Twitch after the show. And then the same thing as tonight, after Dynamite, we'll go live as well. But the pods will be on this free feed that you found us on. We appreciate you listening to us. And if you want to hear more, patreon.com/upnext. $5 a month, North American tier. You get access to everything coming out this month and everything we've ever done, all the best matches ever, all the retro pay-per-view reviews, movie reviews, everything. It's all on there, and it's pennies per podcast.
Yeah, get in the mood. Go back and listen to Deep Blue Sea from last year's Shark Week.
Shark Week, baby. Yeah,
my hat is like a shark's fin.
You just reminded me. I have this crazy shark fact for you.
Oh, yeah?
Did you know sharks don't have bones?
What? What about teeth?
What about teeth? guys, we appreciate you listening to us. We could not do this without you. At Up Next Podcast on Twitter, of course, for all them things that be thanging. We appreciate you guys. Oh, hey, you know what? Another plug. ProWrestlingTees.com/upnext.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. That's all. I myself, Braden Harrington. You can find me on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram. I'm at the Bray D.
And I'm at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. And I apologize to anyone who likes to wear ball shorts.
Ahoy!
The shorts for your balls.